welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's
25 minutes
from your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
Jingle bells.
And a bottle of rum. Christmas rum.
I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep.
I'm Andrew.
And welcome to our special edition of the podcast, the Christmas episode.
Now, it's worth saying up front that if you're listening to this and you're expecting an hour of Christmassy podcast, it's not going to be the case.
No.
We're going for the half hour.
It's true. In some ways, it's more time effective because we know there's a hustle and bustle around Christmas time. We know that you don't have time to listen to an hour of talking. Yeah. But half an hour of talking, of course. Yeah. Of course you have time
this
for that.
This can fill that gap from when you've woken up really early and when it's acceptable to get up and wake up the rest of your family.
Yeah. And you'll have an extra half an hour to buy presents for your friends and family.
Speaking of buying presents, we thought we would theme this completely around Christmas presents because we know how it is. We know how it gets around this time of holidays. You kind of get to the 21st of December. And you're like, what? I'm meant to buy gifts. Who? No one told me this.
Yeah.
And so we thought we'd just give you some gift ideas.
Well, I've got some ideas that you might not actually want to receive. I thought I'll play the Grinch in this episode. There are things you might want, but they're just slightly annoying. For example, that James Bond Blu-ray collection, that massive... I mean, it sounds like a great gift, but there's a new one that's just come out. How frustrating. You know, the completionist in me would be going, that's cool and everything, but now they're going to have one more sitting outside the box. It's the problem with these massive collections that shape the box like something from the series.
At least what I've figured out is that like Avengers, for example, is a good one because at least it comes in phases. So you can kind of get the complete phase one, then the complete phase two. But James Bond, there is no official phasing of it. It's kind of like you're just lucky if you get, I don't know, ones up until Daniel Craig. And then you got to kind of compile your own box sets from there, which is not a bad idea. Maybe that's what you need to be giving people. Like you go to people's houses, you see that they have everyone up until Pierce Brosnan. Then you go to the printers, you get them to print your own kind of little box cover with your own like DVD art. It's quite a good gift.
There was a pretty good Harry Potter thing that came out 1 year. It was like a big book that opened up and it had all these things and spaces for discs, and then it had two spaces left for the films that were still going to come out.
That's very clever.
Which is, I think, a great idea. Although, what do you do with the boxes of those films when they come out?
So maybe the actual thing is to write to the people that make James Bond and just get them to release a box set that has an extra 100 spaces for DVDs.
Just never fill it up. So, James Bond collection? No. What's a yes?
Well, so I was thinking about perfume because I've recently purchased perfume.
Oh, spoiler. For you, whoever you bought it for.
I bought it for my wife and she knows. She helped me pick it up because...
Good call.
I had to get her help because perfume, let's be honest, just smells like other perfume.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, I wouldn't even say it smells like other perfume. It kind of... It's very similar and not entirely too different to like toilet spray and general deodorant. So I kind of figure that... It's good to get another person's opinion. But I don't...
Are you like nose blind as well as color blind from last week?
Very much so. So what I have thought is because it is so similar to deodorant and or toilet spray, is what a good gift could be is to just get a nice little console jar and just spray out some normal deodorant or toilet spray into the console jar to create your own kind of brand of perfume. Yeah.
But now, isn't perfume liquid?
It is. But when you spray those things out, doesn't it become liquid?
No, it's just droplets.
Well, if you spray enough of it, you could fill a jar.
Enough droplets is liquid.
So you're saying for your loved ones, you should buy Febreze kind of smells of the forest.
Yeah.
Which, let's be honest, the forest ends up smelling like a toilet when you spray it in a toilet.
But that's because you're in a toilet.
Yeah.
Like I'm hoping that so my wife...
You think Febreze outside of a toilet situation actually might smell quite nice?
I think so,
because no one's ever tested it.
Yeah.
Going through the toiletries aisle in, Clicks, Checkers, other shops are available, and kind of doing testers with, with different toilet sprays. Mmm, lovely. Pine. Pine secrets.
That'd be kind of gross as if in that aisle they had a toilet. with a recently planted turd. And he just sprayed generally around there to make sure that your toilet spray was going to definitely cover up.
Can you believe we made it back to toilets?
Yeah, I know. I'll bring it away from toilets. Maybe a good idea is to take your console jar to the shop, and you know you can have testers. you go into the shop and you just go and like surreptitiously take your console jar out, spray in a few drops from this perfume, from that perfume. Hey, you've got an amalgamation.
That's a crazy blend that nobody else will ever smell.
And maybe that's why perfume is so expensive, because basically every perfume company is going from shop to shop making their own blend. It's very time consuming. Yeah. And so that's why they charge way more than you should charge for toilet spray.
It's basically the same as production of wine. It just takes so long, but the result is so good.
Well, I mean, you know, I have a number of ideas for Christmas gifts because I'm a very generous person.
That's definitely true.
And my first one is the gift card. Okay, you know, sometimes it's getting close to Christmas and you need to give someone a present, but you don't actually know them that well. Okay?
Yeah.
And you think, well, I'll get them a gift card.
Yeah.
But then you think, oh, I don't even know them well enough to know what kind of gift card to get them. So this is where...
Well, hang on. But if it's Christmas, it's definitely a Christmas card. It's not like, oh, this is Frank. Frank likes to get Easter cards around Christmas.
No. I'm talking about gift cards. I'm not talking about...
You're talking about vouchers.
I'm talking about vouchers.
I think the thing is, Simon and I have never ever said the phrase gift card. But we say vouchers. Because
it's only called that because
you wanted to call it the gift card. You couldn't have called it the vouchers card. It wouldn't have been as funny.
I could call it the Christmas voucher. Anyway. So
you do know that this is money. What you're talking about now, what you're describing, what you're about to describe is money. You're describing something that can be exchanged anywhere for goods. That's money, Andrew. That exists.
Well, not anywhere. That's the problem with the gift card.
No, but
one place.
With the gift card, okay, you buy a gift card from the gift card.
Yeah.
Shop, okay. Okay. And then you give that to the person, and then they can exchange that with a gift card from any of the shop of their choosing.
But now, how many shops does the gift card shop have in its arsenal?
We are very much the middleman and not concerned about any of those other things. Let me move on to another present because I was getting lost in my own
present idea. But I quite like this gift card shop.
I like the idea of vouchers. I do think that what you are describing is very much money.
Yeah.
Because
that's what gift cards are. But if you don't know which gift card to give them, like, do they like iTunes? Do they like bicycle shops?
But that's the problem. That's money, Andrew.
Okay.
I think if you're going vouchers route, I did have an idea for a voucher.
Oh, cool.
Because often what happens is when you don't have Christmas, you don't have enough money for proper Christmas presents. And if you don't have enough time to go scrounge around the perfume from all the shops to create your own, what kids often do is they'll kind of take a piece of paper and write, I give you a voucher for like a back rub or something like that. And it's quite sweet. If I was doing it for my dad, it'd probably be like, I give you a voucher to mow the lawn or something. And he'll be ecstatic. He'll probably say, best son ever, best Christmas gift ever. I hope best son ever, actually. He only has one.
Yeah.
Be quite bleak if you voted my sister as the best son ever for me and for her.
Yeah.
But so I think you could get a voucher, but this voucher enables you to win an argument. So at any stage with any person, you use this voucher. It's a handmade thing that you can make and give someone, and then they just all of a sudden can claim victory no matter what the discussion is about. So in the household, if it's like, who's going to do the washing up? Is it you? Is it me? You just go, well, to be honest, it's you. I win this argument. You're definitely doing it. In the workplace, whose idea is better to put into action? Should you get a raise? Shouldn't you get a raise? Well, I'm winning this argument. The only problem is I don't know, because at least with actual official vouchers, they're linked to either a normal shop or a gift card shop. with the voucher, I don't know who the authority is, because bosses might go, no, sorry, I don't know if I approve of the officialness of this voucher. Yeah.
Well, sounds like, I mean, if you print it out nicely, laminate it.
Yeah, you just need a logo, bro.
Because really, those free hug ones and things, they were just full scap, I think, torn off on the morning of the birthday or whatever.
Okay. Logo and lamination and you're done.
The problem is if that reaches, you know, the higher powers, the presidential debates, let's be honest, that's just one big argument.
Yeah,
and suddenly you have somebody who's been given one by, say, Mrs. Trump, and he takes it with him, not to win an argument with his wife at home about who's making tea, but he takes it to the podium and ends up as the president of a major nation.
And that's called Top Trumps.
Okay, I've got another idea. And this one is more practical.
Okay.
And I think this is a real winner.
Right.
Okay. So, Christmas jumpers. Yes. We all love them. We all hate them. We all love to hate them.
Can we just clarify though? Yeah. Because you've used terminology before that's led us down a dark path. Are you meaning Christmas jumpers as in jerseys or Christmas jumpers as in Christmas jumper cables?
I actually mean people who jump on Christmas. No. Christmas, the jerseys.
Okay.
The jerseys. They generally tend to be quite
hideous.
Garish. I would say hideous. That's a good word.
Well, depends who's made them.
Okay, I don't actually have one.
I think a good one looks pretty ugly. That's a sign of a good one.
It's the idea.
Yeah,
you haven't seen my Christmas jumpers yet. They're amazing.
The problem
they're made out of jumper cables.
The problem with Christmas jumpers is that it's a jersey that is only able to be used around Christmas.
Totally.
Okay, and that's the point of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Reversible Christmas jumpers.
Brilliant.
On the inside, it's Christmassy. It's festive. It's lovely. Snowmen. Jingle bells, other things like
Wait,
that.
Wait, on the inside?
Yeah, on the inside. On the outside, you've got a normal jersey.
Okay.
Wait, and you can just flip it between season. As soon as January comes around, flip the jersey around.
It sounds like, I mean, I had high hopes for this idea when you said it was flippable, but that there'd be something else on the other side. Not, it's just a jersey, because if you flipped a jersey over that has something on the inside, on the outside, and flipped it inside, then you have just a jersey.
Yeah, no.
What's the difference between this and anything else that's got something on the one side and you turn it inside
because
out?
Because you can't just flip a Christmas jumper inside.
Yes, you can.
You'd see all the weird fabric material ends and bits.
You'd be like a hipster. People pay lots of money for jerseys that look like that.
Well, then you can do that, but mine are going to look stylish and clean and chic, and you'd never guess they were Christmassy on the
inside. I think it should have like the Easter Bunny on the other side. Not that Easter jumpers are like, well, I guess the Easter Bunny is an Easter jumper.
You would get, I guess, 50% more use out of it.
Okay.
What if you used it all the time?
No, you'd get 200% more use out of it if you used it at Christmas and Easter. So that's still an improvement.
I'm not sure about those stats.
Yeah, I've jumped for the 200. I think 200 is right.
Let's get somebody in on that one. If you could use it all year round as opposed to just Christmas, what's the percentage more that you're able to use?
365% more. No, 364,000%. I don't really know.
You can tweet in that answer.
Someone could give me a calculator for Christmas. That'd be great.
If you've got nothing better to do on this Christmas. But speaking of clothes, I was going to say that another bad idea, because I'm the bad idea elf, is clothes. Okay. Don't give me clothes on Christmas, and here's why. You open clothes on Christmas, you inevitably have that obligation to leave the room and come back and show everyone the clothes that's
whoa,
on.
Whoa, whoa. The awkward Christmas fashion
show. Do you have that obligation?
Show?
Of course you do. If you've been given a Christmas jumper or...
Oh, I think you've accidentally fallen into a false obligation.
No, something like that. I'm with Dylan. This is very much an
Here's
obligation.
This lovely thing, a gift. It's a t-shirt. Go try it on. Sure.
What if someone gives me a bikini?
Well, no. I mean, actual clothes that make sense in the real world. Oh. And the point is that often clothes don't fit if you weren't there to buy them. Mm. So you come back in this kind of skin-tight shirt that's meant to have long sleeves, but they look short on you. And nobody wins in that scenario. The person who gave the gift feels bad because their gift doesn't work. You feel bad because you suddenly feel like a big fatty because the clothes don't fit. Or the other way around, like... You know, you're wasting away because the clothes are way too big and the jumper's down to your knees. Don't give clothes on Christmas.
Maybe
that's a new campaign.
It could be that's why people default to socks, because socks generally one size fits all unless you're a freak.
Yeah. Well, how can one size fit all in some of these things? It doesn't make any sense. I was looking through the magazine, catalog for one of these shops around Christmas, and I don't really ever look through those unless they're to do with DVDs and computers and things, but I looked through the entire thing and there was a section where there were... Christmas costumes like Santa and elf costumes and things, and I thought, oh, we could have bought those for that video shoot we did, then we wouldn't, you know, we'd still have them. But the thing for the Santa said one size fits all. How can a Santa suit be one size fits all?
That's very interesting.
The thing which brings on to my other idea, which isn't for a present, but this is for unwanted gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because you do tend to get a few of them, all right? So I'm going to set up a website called unwantedgifts.com or whatever is available. Hopefully that's available. I'm really hopeful. Oh,
no. Have you just invented Gumtree again?
Yeah, okay.
your ideas, your groundbreaking ideas for Christmas time is money and Gumtree.
I've got it. Christmas tree.
It's different, okay? You upload the presents, the value of the presents, all right? The actual presents that you were given that you don't want to this site. It works out a monetary value of them.
Clothes.
Okay? And it offers you other people's gifts that they don't want. for the same value.
What if your family went on this site on Christmas Day in another room?
They'll be heartbroken. Because they're obviously going on to exchange their gifts.
You end up swapping
across.
No, but it's
a way of getting what... Maybe it should be getwhatyouwant.com. No, that's a terrible name.
Getwhatyouwant.com. Yeah. Andrew, you've taken the true meaning of Christmas and flipped it on its head. You are the true commercial spirit of Christmas.
I know.
Getwhatyouwant.com.
My whole problem with getting clothes on Christmas, to go back to what Dole was saying, is that it's not to do with sizes. It's more to do with, I feel like Christmas presents shouldn't be practical. I feel like there should be. Yeah, there should be a treat. And clothes is usually practical. I don't really...
Especially that bikini you were given. Yeah.
If I didn't have to wear clothes, I probably would opt to maybe just wear underpants the whole time, because it is quite frustrating having to wear clothes. So I view clothes in general as practical. So it's quite... I think... If you're going to give me an item of clothing, it should be like, I don't know, a jetpack or something. So I think that is kind of...
Does that count as clothing?
I think
it's a fine line. I guess you wear it, yeah.
Yeah, it's apparel. Because I don't like practical gifts. Like, I actually, in the lead up to Christmas, I have to try buy all the practical things that I need just so that people don't end up giving them to me as gifts.
But now, don't you see that doesn't make any sense, because you've spent your own money on these things, whereas you could just get them?
But I guess so. I have an idea that's going to hopefully help old people around Christmas, and that is a book of outdated phrases. Now, what often happens is people end up saying things out of ignorance, not necessarily because they have mean intent in their hearts. So you get old people or parents, perhaps, on Christmas Day that will, I don't know, use an outdated phrase or potentially un-PC way to describe a people group or something. Mm. And this book is just full of all those things. It has, like, you used to say this, but now please rather say that. And a good example.
Example.
It's recently...
I was really hoping for no examples.
Recently, my dad was talking about how this girl was such a good person because at a matric dance, she took this dwarf with her.
Okay.
And we were sitting there going, okay, dwarf isn't a... you can use that, but it's not perhaps the best word. The best word in that situation is little person.
Yeah.
And I think my dad would have been better off if he had just known to say little person, or at least the person's name.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Ultimately, that is the best thing to call anyone, is just by their name. And so I thought this would really help my dad. He then went on to say that back in his day, little people could only really get jobs at the circus.
Oh, boy.
So you might need a subsection, which is like...
a follow-up book.
This is what you can phrase... call them, and this is maybe what you should avoid in terms of anecdotal stories.
So you're going to give this to them on Christmas morning, hope that they brush up for an hour or two, depends how quickly they read, so that by Christmas dinner you have this completely lovely PC dinner.
I love that you're only worried about this on Christmas. Like, the rest of the year doesn't matter what they
say. Well, just benefit them going into the rest of the year, I reckon.
That's true.
And what is nice about the gift as well is that, like most things, it's always good if you can update it every year. And this is perfect for updating. We can release a new edition each year because these words are forever changing.
Yeah.
Soon you're not going to be able to call people. You're going to have a completely different name for them. So I think this will be great.
Yeah. Well, I'd get in on that.
Talking about old people, another idea is the candy cane actual cane.
If
you are old, struggle to walk, or a little bit low on blood sugar level, the candy cane actual cane is for you.
Okay.
Seems like the kind of thing that wouldn't last them maybe as long as they need a cane. So they've gone, this is great. I've probably got about 10 years left of needing a cane. This thing's run out and it's not even New Year's yet.
It's going to be terrible, like, in winter.
I'm just... why?
It's just going to melt away slowly when it's in puddles and stuff like that.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't know. Maybe
get
flies
stuck all over it.
Yeah, it's going to attract ants.
Yeah, but
huge ants. Imagine the ants.
No, listen.
Do you really hate old people? Is that what's going on here?
Just listen here.
I thought I was the one doing gifts you shouldn't give.
You're an old
changed
person.
Changed my tune. I loved it at first.
You're an old person, all right? Okay. And you're sort of walking around. You're eating this cane as you go. Your teeth aren't what they used to be.
How are you walking around and eating the thing?
So it's taking a while. I mean, not simultaneously.
Is this for people who don't need a cane? they just carry it around.
Not simultaneously. Yeah. Okay. You're eating the cane slowly because your teeth aren't what they used to be, and you know, candy canes, quite
too many candy canes, I guess, in the past.
And so basically, as you get older, you tend to kind of crouch forward. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's so good.
So as you crouch forward, the stick's getting it's perfect, smaller. Yeah.
It works with you.
Yeah, exactly. It's perfect.
That's amazing.
Cool. Can it have like the edible hearing aid or something as well? Just like a chocolate-flavored hearing aid. Just,
yeah, you can. Why not?
Or hearing kitchen aid. All your mixing needs.
I think another thing that is kind of awkward to bring out, box of Quality Street. I mean, people like them, but really, if you put my name on the label and give it to me, everyone's getting it. that's a gift for the whole party, really. Because who is given a big box of stuff and then, again, not obliged to just bring it out in front of everyone?
That is true. I don't know why they're called Quality Streets, because it feels like they should be called Quality Suites. And I don't know if that was just a typo that somehow got taken to the next level.
Yeah.
But why are they called streets? Those aren't they're not remotely like streets. They're edible. Streets aren't edible. You can't drive on these things that you're given in these tiny little wrappers.
You can, but they break. It's awful.
Doesn't make any sense.
Have you been? I think there must be a Quality Street.
Well, I've never been to it.
No, but those two people on the cover sure have. They spend all their time there. They just never leave. I once wrote a joke I was quite proud of about Quality Streets. It goes like this. I opened a hazelnut surprise, bit into it. There was a hazelnut. I wasn't surprised.
That's good.
That's it. It's kind of deadpan.
Yeah.
No better or worse than you'd get in a Christmas cracker.
No.
So I think it applies.
I thought I would just share a real Christmas present that I was once given.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
We were playing the present game, which I'm sure you all have...
Christmas.
Yeah.
That's called Christmas.
Yeah.
Andrew, it's money, it's Gumtree, and it's Christmas.
Like, I'm new to this, right? And so you have to get a present for one other person. This is Secret Santa.
This has a name.
No, this is Dirty Santa.
What? Dirty Santa. Yeah, this doesn't exist.
Yeah, Dirty Santa. Have you never played it? Okay.
What traditions do you
everyone
have?
Everyone brings one gift.
Okay.
Right? You put it in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you draw numbers out of a hat.
Yeah.
And that's the number that you pick. So first person, number one, gets to pick a present. They open it up.
Okay. Second you get to steal their gifts or something.
I know what this game is. We don't call it Dirty Santa, but fair enough. You do what you need to do.
Well, I was last.
Isn't that best? Because you've got to pick up the litter.
It is best. However,
hopefully all of the presents just litter as a prize.
All of the presents have been opened except for one suspiciously large and left present in the middle of the table.
Okay.
Okay. It was round,
all right.
Which was very suspicious. Not many presents around.
Like a ball?
Yeah, it's probably a ball.
Yeah, like a ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, except it was heavy. So everyone was like, no, come on, open that one. Come on, just do it. Don't steal some nice present from someone else.
Okay. Can you give an example of what the stakes are here? Like, what could you steal at this stage?
Maybe like some Toblerone.
Ooh, that is good.
Okay.
Yeah. So I, wanted to please the group, so I said, fine, I'll open this present.
Yeah.
I opened the present. It's a fish bowl.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's odd.
It was odd.
With fish in it.
Inside was water and rocks.
Yeah.
And the little fake leaf things.
All right. Sure.
And a dead goldfish.
No.
Yeah.
That's awful.
So the person who'd wrapped the present had changed the water the moment before he wrapped the goldfish.
That's a he. We can start narrowing down.
Okay. Yeah. In fact, you do know him.
It's Jeremy Westwood.
It's not. It's Ben Casalina. Bingham. I'm just going to say.
Okay. Oh, it's
it was Ben Bingham.
Yay!
And he didn't know that the goldfish was dead at
that
the time.
Murderer.
He had hoped to give it as a pet.
Okay.
So I spent Christmas Day flushing my present down the loo. Because that's apparently what you're supposed to do with
the bowl fit all the way down the toilet.
Yeah. I mean, why? You don't need to flush it. It's already in a little appropriate grave.
I guess so. It would get a bit stinky.
Yeah, just leave it there for the next fish to eat. That's what they do anyway.
Didn't he know that you need to poke holes in the top for your pet to survive?
Yeah, well, he didn't do
that. A goldfish is forever, Ben Bingham, not just for Christmas.
Yeah, thanks, Ben, for the worst gift ever.
My sister had a goldfish that died, or it was a black goldfish. Mm-hmm. It was called Mr. Blackfish. And we had a funeral ceremony for it.
Sorry, according to my book of outdated phrases, we can no longer call him Mr. Blackfish.
Okay, sorry. He was pigmently neutral.
Thank you.
And she sang this little song and went like, goodbye, Mr. Blackfish, go to heaven, stay as you are, stay as an angel forever. And it was quite touching and sad and stuff. And then she just goes at the end, goodbye, Mr. Fish, and just flushes the toilet. It's so sinister. It was like some kind of crazy Marvel villain.
There was a fish in our office once that not only died, but managed to propel itself from the goldfish bowl onto like the floor, two desks past where it was actually originally sitting.
Oh, word.
It's very,
reach
very
for your
strange.
Dreams, kids.
Yeah. So just look out for flying fish this Christmas. But right now, it's time for something else.
Christmas quiz.
Oh man, it's Christmas time, and that means it's time for a Christmas quiz.
Yes.
You sound so depressed about it.
Yeah.
Do I? Oh man.
Oh no, I didn't mean to. Sorry.
Hey!
Sorry, Charlie
Christmas
Brown
quiz.
Here.
Okay, so we're gonna start with the first round, and you can all join in.
Thanks.
It's the most round wonderful time.
Oh, that's so good.
Right.
That's too good.
These are questions just randomly around Christmas. So, question one: what trees do they use for Christmas trees in India?
Beep.
Simon.
Alaskan pine.
Well, clearly not.
Well, I thought it might work.
They're fake. They're fake trees.
They are not fake trees. I will give you guys a clue at this point and say that they are fruit trees.
Beep, apple trees.
Is incorrect.
Banana trees.
Is the right answer. Now there's
Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Yeah, they use banana and mango trees. I would have given you a point for either.
Mango groove.
Well, apples are pretty much the mangoes of the vegetables.
Question two. Which fast food franchise is heavily associated with Christmas in Japan?
Taco Bell.
Is incorrect.
Beep, Coca-Cola?
No.
Burger King.
Is incorrect.
Beep, McDonald's.
Is incorrect.
KFC.
Is the right answer.
Kentucky Fried Christmas.
Question three. Why do children on Christmas Eve in Venezuela tie one end of string to their big toe?
Venezuela or Taiwan?
Sorry. Yeah. Venezuela. Tie an end of string to their big toe and leave the other end outside their bedroom window.
Beep. Beep. So
yes,
they
Simon.
Can make sure they're not carried away by Santa Claus.
Is incorrect.
So that Santa Claus will give it a little tug and then they can come out and meet him.
Well, the tug was the right thing, so I have to give that to Dylan. But it's actually... So
I'll just sit out of this quiz. I don't need to get any points.
So that people skating past for the early morning mass can tug on the strings and wake them up.
Brilliant.
Okay.
If you ask why they're skating past...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real. Because apparently the streets in the early days were closed because of so many people walking.
Sure.
So everyone would roller skate to the mass.
Is it not that they had a loose toe and they wanted it to like... Pull it off for the toe fairy. So they just kind of tie the one end on the toe, the other end to a door.
That's great.
Does it get really busy and have to go get out my Venezuela?
I think so. We're going to move on to round two, which is filming good. And which of these Christmas movies is not real?
Okay.
Because it's Christmas, there's one extra. So we're going to do this five movies. And
oh,
you
right.
guess which is the fake one.
Thank you, all Christmas right. King.
Yeah, I'm going to read
is
them
that
out.
One of them?
here they go. Number one, Magic Christmas Tree. Number two, Christmas in Canada. Number three, The Christmas That Almost Wasn't. Number four, Santa Claus, the movie. And number five, The Nutcracker in 3D.
Beep, I Simon. Think it's going to be Christmas in Canada is not a film.
Simon thinks it's Christmas in Canada.
The first one, the
Magic Christmas Tree. Simon is right.
Yay!
First
point, a Christmas
Canada.
Miracle.
The problem is that an episode of South Park, and I kind of feel that counts.
What, Christmas in Canada?
Mm.
Pure fluke. I made it up. Okay, round three is finish the...
Yuletide feast.
Quote. Right. So the first quote about Christmas comes from Melanie White.
It goes Melanie like White Christmas.
A Christmas miracle is when your family doesn't...
swear.
Fight on Christmas.
Beep shout at each other.
I'm gonna have
just
to give
feel
it's,
like
it's Dylan. Get into a single argument all day. Which was closer, unfortunately. Well,
it depends how sweary your family is.
If they did though, they could always play your card and the argument correctly.
The second quote comes from Andy Borowitz, and it's Christmas sweaters are only acceptable as
beep
Simon.
Cleaning up cloths.
Dylan.
Gifts for people you don't like.
Incorrect.
That was amazing buzzer sound, by the way. I just want to go back there.
Sweet.
We're not really sitting here with buzzers, and Dylan somehow managed to make an actual sound.
I'm like a minor bird. I just imitate my surroundings.
Christmas sweaters are only acceptable as...
Beep jokes?
No.
Yeah, I've got nothing. Okay. I just don't think they are acceptable.
It's a cry for help.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
The final quote is from Victor Borg, and it is, Santa Claus has the right idea. Visit.
Beep. Families once a year.
Is the right answer.
Yay.
Well done. I've got
an answer
only
still.
Only once a year. Yes, Dylan.
Visit iwantwhatiwant.com for more details.
Getwhatyouwant.com.
Yeah.
Okay, as we move into round four, the final round, distant relative, something relating to Christmas. Dylan's on 4 and Simon's on 2, so you can still come back into this.
Okay.
All right. The subject of this is The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. It's in general, it's not just the movie. All right.
Okay.
Question one. How long did it take Jim Carrey to get into his Grinch suit?
Beep.
That was Dylan beeped in just...
8 hours.
Incorrect.
12 and a half hours.
You went the wrong way. So I'm going to
beep, 7 hours.
I'm going to give it to Dylan. It was astonishing 3 hours. If you think about 3, that's a long time.
It's quite a long time, but I've heard of longer times for these things.
He can just watch the film twice in that time.
That's true. Question two. What color is the Grinch in the book? Including eye color and suit. Simon beeped in first.
He is blue and he's got yellow eyes.
Yellow eyes, right.
He's grey and he's got yellow eyes.
You're both wrong, completely.
Well, he's green and he's...
In the book.
He's red. He's well red.
Well, he's green in like, you know, the obvious thing that you'd think about him, but I'm trying to, you know, go non-obvious here.
So Simon, yellow. Surprisingly, he's yellow. Got the only colour that you guys have got right so far, which
blue.
Is red. He wears a red suit.
Yeah.
If you can guess his eyes.
No, not his suit. His
I
skin.
Said his eyes and his suit. You guys are wrong. His skin is white in the book.
Grey.
No, white.
Depends. Sometimes things look black when they're actually blue.
How do you see him in the snow then?
Simon, you... Because he's got a black outline, but he is white.
Okay. So I get a point there.
You got a point.
For what? He's well red. That doesn't count.
You said Santa pulls on kids' toes when it's actually just normal people. But you somehow got a point.
Fine.
No, his eyes are pink in the books.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Well, this is all very interesting.
It is. You can check it out.
I'm saying it is. I sound sarcastic, but it's very, very interesting.
Question three. For the movie set of Whoville, what did they use to replicate snow? Dylan.
Marshmallows.
Incorrect. Why would they use marshmallows?
Don't question my answers.
Yes.
Beep.
He didn't beep. Don't say yes, Simon. He was setting this one out.
Beep then. Maybe actual snow.
No.
Bam. The foam from suds from soap.
Incorrect.
And stuff.
It's, no.
It is
beep,
that.
Head and shoulders.
I don't think you're going to get this.
Dandruff.
No, it was 152,000 pounds of crushed marble.
Of course. I was going to get there eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Like next year Christmas.
Yeah, 20 questions. Okay, and the last question is, what was Jim Carrey's Grinch suit made of?
Beep. What's that thing that spandex is made out of?
Spandex.
Spandex.
It's made out of rubber.
Latex.
No. Nope.
Makeup. Maybe it's the thing with the mask again.
Okay, so I'm talking specifically the kind of, you know, it was quite a hairy suit. I don't know if you remember that.
Mm-hmm. Animal fur.
Yes, which animal?
Oh, come on. I can't get
which animal?
Reindeer.
Nope.
I can't get a thing for animal fur.
Gorilla.
It's hair.
Rabbit.
Which hair?
Dog hair.
No.
It's cat hair.
Horse.
Strange.
Beep.
Orangutan.
No, it's closer to horse.
Beep.
Not
sheep.
Zebra.
Sort of.
Donkey.
Not really. That kind of arena.
Goat.
Owl.
Goat.
Getting closer.
Beep. Moose.
Sheep.
Ox.
More.
Did we say like sheep?
Like a wild cow in Sweden.
Buffalo.
In Sweden.
Yak.
Is the right answer.
I can't believe this.
Yak hairs dyed green. And at the end of the quiz, Dylan has triumphed in Christmas spirit with 6-3. Well done.
Yay,
that's true.
The first Noel, the angel.
Okay, everyone, that was the Christmas episode. It was great having
my
you here.
My fanfare was cut short.
I didn't realize it was a fan. I just thought you were going to sing carols now.
Yeah, well, I haven't sung any yet.
Time. Well, that's all the time we have.
Have a fantastic Christmas, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.